Coming to you direct from the nerve center of the galaxy's greatest comic. This is the 2000 AD Thrillcast.
Borag Thong, Athletes, and welcome to another episode of the 2000 AD Thrillcast. I'm your host, Molchar, and we have an interesting episode about stuff that's coming up in the future from 2000 AD. Specifically, you may have seen the adverts, the 2000 AD Ultimate Collection from Hachette Partworks, which was just recently announced. We're going to be talking to Matt Smith, who's not just the editor of 2000 AD, but has also put together the lineup for this series of hardback reprint collections. We're also going to be talking to Keith Richardson about the forthcoming Scream and Misty special, where we're reviving some classic characters from the 1980s from two horror comics, and that's a collection that's going to be out in time for Halloween. Before we crack on, I'd like to thank every single Earthlit who came along to our booth at San Diego Comic-Con and London Film and Comic-Con. It was a delight to meet you all. I hope you enjoyed your purchases. And for those of you who got one of the freebie badges or lanyards, congratulations. Our next convention is going to be London Super Comic-Con on August Bank Holiday weekend, where we're going to have some more goodies, which you might enjoy. Keep your eyes glued to the 2000 AD social media and the Thrill Mail for more information. If you're not signed up to the Thrill Mail, then what are you doing? Go along to 2000ad.com/thrillmail. That's all one word. THRILLMAIL. And sign up for our weekly Thrillgasm with all the news from 2000 AD, the Judge Dredd magazine and merchandise and events, etc., etc., etc. Speaking of things that are coming up, as I said, we're going to talk about the 2000 AD Ultimate Collection from Hachette Partworks, which launches on the 23rd of August and will be available from all good newsagents in the UK. You can go along to 2000adcollection.com and sign up to be a subscriber, and you get some absolutely fantastic incentives to subscribe, including 2000 AD figurines, which we've had a look at some of them in the office, and they're quite exquisite, but also things like a hip flask and a belt buckle and things like that. It's absolutely fantastic stuff. Go along to there, subscribe, get it delivered to your door, and bask in the glow of all that concentrated thrill power as we bring you the best of 40 years of the galaxy's greatest comic. To support the launch on the 23rd, Boo Cook, who has done the Zarjaz spine art for the collection, will be signing at the London Forbidden Planet Megastore. So make sure you go along in the evening to meet Boo and get an advanced copy of this wonderful collection. So now we've got all that flim-flammery out of the way, let's crack on with this episode. And it was great to sit down with Matt Smith, who's put the list of the 2000 AD, the Ultimate Collection, together, along with Keith Richardson, who's the editor on the Scream and Misty special, to chat about what we've got coming up. So to talk about the 2000 AD Ultimate Collection and also the Screaming Misty special, I'd like to welcome back to the Thrillcast sound booth Matt Smith, editor.
Hello.
And Keith Richardson, editor.
Bonjour.
I thought you were going to say Borag Thong then, just because now that you kind of... Oh, no, what was... Did Agassi McNasty have
a line? Greetings, mortals.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, greetings mortals, I think was the line from Old Ghastly. Misty was a little bit more lyrical, but I wouldn't dare try and ape Misty's dialogue.
Well,
not worthy.
Let's talk about the 2000 AD Ultimate Collection first. So people have been asking about this for quite a while, particularly with the success of the Judge Dredd Mega Collection. Matt, tell us a little bit about the decision-making process that meant that Hachette are now following up the Mega Collection.
Well, the 2000 AD Collection is a little more straightforward than the Dredd one, because... Dredd's appeared every week in the prog, and the stories are also quite diverse. It was a case of trying to bring these stories together into books that made some kind of sense, and they had to be significantly different from the case files, which are just reprinting every story in order. The Mega Collection books had to be sort of thematically linked, which is why it brought for stories of various different subjects and parts of the Dread world together. When it came to the Ultimate Collection, which is every other 2000 AD series, it was merely a matter of put them in together and in order.
Mm.
So you'll have like 9 volumes of Nicolai Dante, starting from first episode right down through to the last.
I imagine that's going to make an awful lot of people very happy.
I know. Yes, yeah. I've seen the calls for some of the books to be reprinted. But mm-hmm. yes, now you'll be able to get all 9 volumes of Nicolai Dante in hardback.
Excellent. And in terms of the selection for this one, because you say it's easier, but at the same time, everyone's got their own favourite 2000 AD characters, you know, and sometimes they can, you know, when people come up to the booth at conventions and say, oh, have you ever reprinted this? And they'll come out with some really obscure, well, not obscure, but you know,
niche
character. Yeah, that's probably a better word.
I tend to find they say, have you ever written that story about that guy who does that thing with the thingy? and I always say yes. It's over there in that copy of Doodah.
Obviously, we're not going to be reprinting the entirety of 2000 AD that's ever existed, but is there pressure on you to kind of get the balance right between the obviously popular characters and the more niche characters?
This is a collection that's definitely gone for the sort of the big stars and the more popular characters. So you'll get your Strontium Dogs and your Rogue Troopers and your Nemesis the Warlocks. There's an effort to balance it up with some of the more modern characters like Ampni Crucis and Stickleback, Durham Red. The Dan Abnett and Mark Harrison version will get the 3 series of that collected into one volume, which is
wow.
quite a nice book. It's never been in, all in one volume before. It's mainly gone for the classics, but also with a mix of some of the more modern characters in there as well.
Hmm.
But there's also the question of the page count, is because the Hachette books have to be about 200 pages minimum,
hmm.
or just slightly under minimum, up to about 250 maximum. There has to be a story that can fill out that page length. And some of the ones we've gone for, we've done a double bill. Like I think we've got a Skiz and DR and Quinch collection, because they don't quite exist in a book on their own. And I think we got some Puligan's Haircut and Sooner or Later in one volume as well. Mm. But some of the more standalone stories like Firekind, something, it just isn't long enough. So that wouldn't necessarily fill out a book on its own. But if the Ultimate Collection proves to be the roaring success that I'm sure it all will be, then we will go beyond the 80 books, and then we can start feeding in some of the other stories that people might be clamoring to read.
Sure. Let's talk about the extension aspect of these collections, because when it was announced that the Mega Collection was going to be extended by another 10 volumes, the vast majority of response was positive, but there was some negative reaction. How do you feel as editor about the ability to continue these collections? Because obviously people are enjoying them, they're subscribing, they subscribe all the way to the end. How do you then choose the extras? So, you know, the extra 10 volumes of the Mega Collection.
With the Mega Collection, it was kind of difficult to keep up that thematic consistency of finding book without them becoming too random a collection. So in the additional books for the Mega Collection, I've got titles like War on the Streets, where you start bringing in the mega rackets and stories about dread fighting crime, which aren't, you know, it's kind of a loose theme, but it's a theme. And I also got some more modern Anderson in there that was published after the sort of the Mega Collection started. Mm. So and they've got a collection of Lawless in there as well. It's quite an enjoyable job trying to putting together a collection. It's you know, trying to pull in together stories that you think will make a good read under one cover. With the Ultimate Collection, it'll be easier, because you'll just be looking for more 2000 series that haven't yet been haven't been reprinted yet.
Is there one thing that you really wanted to include in the Ultimate Collection, but without revealing too much of the lineup that we've got in store, is there something that you wish you could have included?
I wish we didn't do.
I wish this wasn't in this thing that we're selling.
We've got all the Kabbalistics in there,
right?
Two volumes. So for the first time, I think the last series of Kabbalistics will be reprinted.
Excellent.
So you'll have all of Kabbalistics plus some Absalom in there as well to fill out the book. So that's a good one.
Is there a series that you wish you could have included?
There's series that are slightly shorter that don't quite fill out the page length. As I mentioned, Firekind is always a good one. And some of the more little compact series. We've got a collection of Future Shocks. And there's bound to be ones in there that people will say, "Why didn't you include this one?"
Sure.
We'll do that for the next 100 volumes.
Of course, we've got the complete Future Shock starting next year, is it, Keith?
Yep, that's right. Yeah. Volume 1 out before next summer.
Yeah, brilliant. We're
running in competition with each other.
Only one shall survive.
But that brings me neatly onto what my next question was going to be, which is, I've seen one or two people raise a concern, a note, about whether this cannibalises 2080's graphic novel sales, because obviously graphic novels are so important to the ongoing survival of 2080. And this is the question for both of you, have we seen any cannibalisation of sales?
None whatsoever.
Right.
No, not at all.
Right, which is
simple answer to it.
Pretty excellent.
Yeah. The people that buy the part works are the same people that buy the graphic novels already.
Yeah, and ultimately, though, it's a good thing for 2000 AD because let's not make any bones here. The part works collection has a further outreach than we have with our graphic novels line, as great as it is, and it's getting 2000 AD into the hands of people that wouldn't necessarily pick up our GNs anyway. So it can only be a good thing.
As you say, it's about outreach. It's getting into the hands of people who wouldn't necessarily pick them up. But it's incredible how the newsstand, even as it declines, is still solid. You can still launch a new product like this and it do well and to catch the eye of people who wouldn't necessarily spot 2000 AD in the comics racks.
Exactly.
It helps to have Hachette behind it. This is Hachette Partworks, but they're part of Hachette, which is like the second biggest publisher in the world.
Yeah.
And so they can just push these collections onto the shelves and Smiths will take notice.
Yeah.
And I've noticed there's been quite a number of people at the conventions I've been to in the UK coming up and asking about 2000 AD books on the basis that they'd gone out and bought some of these Hachette collections and they wanted to find out some more. So the two work well in tandem with each other, I think.
Yeah. Matt, one last question on this. As a 2000 AD fan, as a reader of many, many years, How would you feel about something like the Ultimate Collection that we're able to bring everything together like this into one?
It's a great opportunity to pick out the Horned God for $1.99. Who wouldn't? It's a lovely thing to have this range of books. With it specially commissioned Boo Cook spine image, which is
a lovely image,
lovely thing really to cool. behold.
And was it difficult to choose the first volume?
The first four books, which were Horn God, Halo Jones, Shakara, and Strontium Dog, they kind of fell together fairly easily in terms of what you think would get the most punch. So kind of, the Horn God is like one of the sort of seminal graphic novels that kind of really ushered in the modern comic. Halo Jones is always a perennial favourite. Shakara's like modern 2000 AD at its best, and Strontium Dog is a kind of the Creed of Conspiracies, a sort of modern take on a classic character. So they seem to sort of cover all the bases. So it seems a good four to kick off with. And issue five, you've got volume one of Nemesis the Warlock. So it's a real winning run to start off with.
I'm looking forward to getting these figurines.
Yeah, yeah, on they're my great. Yeah. As well. Yeah, I've held the Nemesis in my hand.
Oh, everyone knows about them now, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, they're good. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it does feel like Hachette of. I mean, the subscriber incentives for the Mega Collection were very nice, but it really seems like they've stepped up the game on this one.
Yeah. No. I think the figurines should be very popular.
And
going to be a Trapper Hag, do you think?
What is it with you and Trapper Hag? Always Trapper Hag.
I gravitate towards greatness.
Let's move on to the Screaming Missy special, which is coming out in time in the UK for Halloween.
Yes.
And I believe from a conversation that we had that we're hoping to get it earlier than November the 1st into the States.
That's right.
So that it's actually in time for Halloween, because it's a much bigger thing over there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the genesis of the Screaming Missy special, because we bought the IPC Fleetway youth group archive last year.
That's right. And the thing that excited me more than anything else was the fact that we were purchasing Scream, because as much as I love 2000 AD, Scream always kind of it's always been my favourite comic anthology.
Yeah. Well, you're sat here in a Famous Monsters t-shirt.
Yes, and I've always gravitated more towards horror. Yeah. And, it was just a fun romp for kids. It was an exciting, fun comic. It was horror masquerading as comedy. Mm. And that really appealed to me. I'm very straightforward. I'm quite basic. Some of the 2000 AD stuff at the time was going over my head, as great as it is. I just like the fun of Scream. It was everything I wanted in the comic. So when we did purchase that archive, it was the first thing that I couldn't wait to kind of pour over again.
Mm.
So bearing in mind, we bought the archive, and yes, our focus is on the Treasury line, putting out some nice collections, a lot of which, you know, a lot of these strips haven't seen the light of day since they were originally published in some of these titles. But at the same time, we were also, this has been something that we've been planning on doing, the odd specials, like looking into the catalogue and seeing what's worth kind of doing new material, creating new material for. And Scream and Misty now is just perfect, because you can kind of hang it on Halloween.
Mm. So tell us a bit about your editorial process on this, because Scream didn't last all that long, certainly not in comparison to 2008, but didn't last all that long. But it was still an anthology, so it still has a lot of strips. Same with Misty as well, relatively short run, but an awful lot of different strips.
That's right.
How did you decide? Was it a personal choice? It was like, well, these are my favourites.
There's a bit of both. I mean, thankfully, you know, it just so happens that the hands down, and no disrespect to anyone else who contributed to Scream, but I mean, hands down, the most popular and the best strip in there was The 13th Floor. Anyone involved with the comic will tell you that, and I think a lot of the fans would say that as well. So it was a no-brainer to have The 13th Floor in there. Now, the second strongest strip in Scream was probably The Dracula File, and let's face it, if you're going to have a horror anthology comic, Dracula is probably still and always will be the kind of pin-up poster boy for the horror genre. So straight away, I thought we'll have that in there as well. When it came to Misty, I mean, Misty was a revelation. I'd never read it until we bought the archive. I think when I was young, I bought one issue because there was a Weetabix promotion at the time. So do you remember the Weetabix skinheads?
Yeah.
Kind of weird now.
Just a little.
Yeah, there was a promotion where you would get, I think there were five different characters. One was called Brains. I shouldn't remember that. Daisy, or was it Trixie, was the female. But anyway, you would get a different badge on a different IPC title.
Yeah.
And of course, the female Weetabix character was a free badge on the front of an issue of Misty. Please tell me if I'm wrong. It might have been Ginny. I'm sure it was Misty. Anyway, I went out and bought that, but I'd never read the comic. I discarded it straight away because it was a comic for girls back then, which we all know is a complete nonsense. I'd never read. So basically, I'd never read Misty before, and it was a revelation picking it up. Absolutely fantastic. Some mind-blowing art. It's introduced me to Shirley Bellwood, which is a great thing. I think she's very, very criminally even underrated, and there needs to be more talk about her as a British comic book great. There's some great stories. The thing about Misty is there aren't many ongoing series in there. Luckily, we've managed to kind of select the Sentinels as our Misty strip.
Tell us a bit about the Sentinels.
To my mind, was the best strip in Misty.
Right. Tell us a bit about it. What's the Sentinels about?
It's an urban horror. It's about these two twin blocks of flats, one of which people still live in. The other one's derelict. This young girl's living in the flats, and her family are getting evicted. She goes into the twin set of flats, and it leads her to a parallel dimension where Britain's been taken over by the Nazis.
Right, okay.
And it's really, really dark. I mean, the Misty strips were a lot creepier than anything you would probably find in any of the pages of Scream at the time.
Right.
So it's just beautiful to look at and really, really well written by Malcolm Shaw. It's really good stuff. But I think, yeah, it's hands down deserves its place in this special.
So tell us about not just the lineup of characters, but the creative lineup for the Halloween special.
Right. Well, I've kind of I've chosen some newer creators, people who I think it's about time. You know, that they've done great work in kind of small press, and I just think, you know, I'd want to give them a shot.
Yeah.
At doing something in this, and also some old 2000 E stalwarts who I know are massive fans of somebody's source material and do a sterling job. So, for example, with the 13th Floor, Guy Adams was a fan of the strip, and you know, it's a bit of a crazy. It can get quite crazy and surreal. So, after his work on some of his 2000 AD stuff. I just figured, hey, he's the right fit for it. But I've chosen people I thought would really do a great job on the strips I've given them.
Mm.
And from what I've seen so far, it's looking top notch.
Some of the creators in this lineup that I'm not particularly familiar with, tell us a bit about Grineen and Tristan and some of the others.
Grineen, I kind of met at a UK con. She works for she has her own publishing line, Bounce Comics. So she was kind of self publishing with a few others, and I picked up a couple of comics that she had written, just on the off chance, just to try out something a bit different. And I really enjoyed one of the comics that was called Bubbles 07. Which was like a simian 007, and I found it thoroughly entertaining, really well written, and it kind of really it tickled me.
Yeah.
To be honest, she also has another strip called Apes and Capes. You notice some kind of simian theme going.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got a thing about monkeys.
Right.
But that was really it was nicely again really well written, dramatic, quite emotive, and it just showed me that she could turn her hand to a couple of different styles. And, you know, I thought some of the humour in Bubbles 07, I thought, well, if she can kind of, you know, she can bring some of that to the table. But tonally, we kind of shifted away from that, and she wanted to show that she was a horror writer. And it's probably one of the scariest strips that I've commissioned.
Okay.
Enforced by the fact that I've got one Mr. Tristan Jones in the artwork. Now, Tristan Jones is an artist from Australia.
Mm.
Who excels at horror art. That's his forte. And if you've not seen his work before, he illustrated for Dark Horse an Aliens comic called Aliens Defiance, which I loved. I saw it in Forbidden Planet and it immediately jumped off the shelf, so I went out and bought that a long time ago. And he's just, like I say, it horror's his thing.
Sure.
I mean, his DeviantArt page, you want to see his version of Slimer. My God, it's scary. How can anyone make Slimer scary? He's managed that.
Yeah.
He's a bloody good horror artist. So yeah, I snapped him up, and he was only too happy to kind of draw the strip.
Yeah. I mean, they're working together on the Dracula file, which, as you said, is one of the stalwarts. But kind of looking back as well, the 13th Floor, you mentioned Guy Adams, but we've got John Stokes.
Yes, well, you know, John Stokes, very much in the same vein as Shirley Bellwood. I think he's a he's a very underrated artist who's not been lauded enough, to be quite honest, by the British comics industry. I mean, John's fantastic, and of course he's got form with the 13th Floor, because he illustrated the 13th Floor strip in an Eagle annual. I think it was like the 1983 or 84 annual.
And I
really, really loved that strip. It kind of it stands out to me as one of those strips from my youth that I remember. I remember having that annual all those many years ago, and when I found out that when I found his details and found out that he was still around and working, I was just over the moon. So I had to jump at the chance to get him on board. I'll tell you this now, my favourite artist of all time is Jose Ortiz, the original 13th Floor artist. So I think he stands in a party of one. That guy's almost untouchable. But if you were going to get anyone on board to work on the 13th Floor, I think the person you should get in is John Stokes. And, sure. and that's exactly what I did. But to mix it up a little bit and to make it a little bit different from what we had in the past, Fraser Irving, the great Fraser Irving, the mighty Fraser Irving, is also on board, bringing his brand of weirdness to the strip. And I think the two complement each other really well.
I mean, he mentioned it at London Film, the panel at London Film and Comic Con that we did. He was looking forward to unleashing a little bit, I think.
Well, you know, this is the thing. I've just told him to go for broke. I mean, Guy's given him plenty of scope for going bats. So, I'm still just waiting on the end product of that, but I'm sure it's going to be a doozy.
Speaking about bats, you've got Black Max in there.
He was
a World War One.
A World War One fighter pilot for the German army. He descended from a race of bat people, and he went into battle with two giant bats who he could control. it's that nuts. It's absolutely brilliant. If you don't trust me, or you don't take my word for it, get in contact with Chris Weston. I'm sure he'll tell you how brilliant it is. No, I mean, in fact, you could call this the Scream, Misty, Thunder, Buster. I'll tell you why later, kids. But, you know, we drew it from, it's another strip from a different title, from Thunder, but it complements this special so much. I mean, to all intents and purposes, he's a horror character.
Yeah.
So I any excuse to get my hands on the Black Max, I've got him, he's in there. The script is brilliant. I think it's one of the best things KW's done, and I love Keck stuff.
Yeah.
And when you see Simon Colby's art on this, your tiny minds will melt. It is sublime. It's absolutely gorgeous, and I know he had a blast working on it.
Yeah,
he pulled out all the stops to do that, and it just looks amazing.
I mean, let's talk a little bit about the thinking behind this special, because I know when we bought the archive, a lot of people's eyes sort of lit up at the prospect of stuff returning to the newsstand after all these years.
Yeah.
Is this a test? Is this, you know, us popping our toe in the water to see if these things take off again?
Undoubtedly. I mean, we own all these wonderful characters and these amazing worlds, and many of them, unfortunately, through no fault of their own, were cut short. In a lot of cases, it wasn't because of the lack of popularity.
I mean,
Scream was killed because of a publishing strike. So a lot of them were cut down in their prime. Now, they're not going to be the same as they were back then. That's impossible, especially as unfortunately, a lot of the original creative teams they've either moved on or they're no longer with us. But, you know, there's lots of great worlds and there's lots of great storylines to explore with this. So, yeah, we're sticking a toe in the water, seeing how people react to it. And if something's deemed, you know, strong enough, then who knows where we can go with it.
Why is it a Scream and Misty special? Why not maybe do two different ones?
Yeah, well, originally it was just a Scream special. Our publishing manager, in his wisdom, there's no note of irony in there, he suggested we add Misty to the mix as well, because it is another horror title.
Sure.
And it, you know, people take more notice of it. But it's got the editorial voice of both Ghastly McNasty and Misty in there. It's good. It makes it more, I think it expands me. It makes it more inclusive
yeah,
to
yeah.
more people.
And in terms of what we're trying to achieve here, obviously there's going to be a nostalgia market. People remember these strips from when they were originally published. People are a fan of classic comics. But from what you've said in the office when we've discussed this, this is also about trying to find a new audience.
It's about finding a newer, younger audience. It's exploring, it's a modern comics take on these older strips. It's finding new talent and letting them loose and getting their interpretations on the on these great old characters. But yeah, I think fundamentally there's quite a broad remit, but I think we're ticking all boxes with it so far. But it'd be great to get some new readers on board, especially younger readers. And you know, it's going to be refreshing to see something else on the shelves that's not 2000 AD or the magazine, which is all comic like 2000 AD and magazine and less toy and advert based. Those are few and far between today. I always get a bit dismayed when I walk into a news agent's and it's like something that's bagged and there's a big horrible lump of disgusting plastic on the front and garish colouring.
You know, not to cast any aspersions on our colleagues in the publishing industry.
No, they're wonderful people. But you know, this is pure comics, and like you say, it's for the older readers that were familiar first time around. It's for newer readers. It's for people that just like good stories and a bit of fun.
Matt, one question that's come up an awful lot is about some of the IPC. Archive material, which whether we're going to be reprinting any in the magazine, because you know we're focusing on things like we've done collections of One Eye Jack, Leper from Lime Street, we've got Marnie the Fox coming up, 13th Floor, the Dracula File. Is there stuff that that's either too small or too niche for a collection that you're going to be popping in the magazine?
Hopefully. The mini trade that's going in magazine 387, which is out mid August, is the Lawless Touch, which is a short lived strip that ran in the short lived comic Tornado, which it was written by Steve McManus and Kelvin Gosnell, and had some art by Barry Mitchell and John Cooper, and it's like sort of like a light hearted kind of criminal caper about about this super thief who gets inducted into this special society and does sort of secret agent stuff. But that's the kind of strip that's too short to make a book collection, but is ideal for like the magazine's backup GN. Hopefully I'll be trawling through the archives from some of the other sort of shorter strips to go in the magazine. But it's also often a question of repro capacity, because with all the scanning going on for the Treasury of British Comics imprint, as well as the mega collection as well, and the other stuff, it's fitting it all in.
I mean, this is a question for both of you, really, because there is so much material in that archive, and you know, as we've already touched on, there's a lot of people very excited about the things that we're going to be bringing back, quite often never having been reprinted before. Is there ever going to be a risk that our attention is going to get pulled away from 2000 AD, or you know, as a company, are we still going to be able to maintain the kind of pace on both of these things?
I think so. I don't think the attention ever be pulled away from 2000 AD, because I think that's pretty much Rebellion Publishing's comics division's kind of bread and butter, really, and what it's most well known for. I mean, the Treasury of British Comics book line seems to be sort of coming out fairly regularly. And it seems to be working as a kind of an interesting sideline to the 2000 AD line, I think.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, it's not going to detract from 2000 AD. I mean, Matt's unwavering attention is always focused on 2000 AD in the magazine. He's not really involved in collecting any of the Treasury stuff. So I can't see anything changing on that front.
If the Screaming Mystery Special is successful, and maybe we repeat it again in the future.
Or we can try something else out.
Or we can try something else.
Oink.
Yeah, I saw someone suggest that. Yeah.
War pigs.
Yeah. You know, do we have an eye on the future? Are we thinking, well, perhaps some of these could reappear regularly on the newsstand? You know, is this us taking a step towards reviving what once dominated the newsstands?
Me personally, there's nothing more I'd love to see. And for me, that would be the ultimate goal. Maybe not in the same form as 2000 AD. I don't think there'll ever be another ongoing weekly British comic. But who knows, maybe an original mini-series followed by a quick trade or a series of mini-series. Titan do that at the moment. It seems like it works for them. And, you know, we have got so many fantastic strips. I mean, some of the stuff I'm coming across is just fried gold. and some of these characters are begging to be revived.
Yeah.
So I see no reason why not.
Hmm.
Of course, it's a lot of this is predicated, the speed of which that happens is all predicated on how well this special does. So there's no pressure there, folks. But the more people that buy it, the likelihood that we will get some more new material out based on some of this archive RP increases on how well this does.
Matt, is there a likelihood that some things may sort of be revived within the pages of 2000 AD or the magazine?
I wasn't planning on any of it making into the prog, because I kind of think the prog is a separate entity. I'd try to avoid bringing in characters from outside it into the. I mean, it may well be, it could possibly happen. It's not something that I would actively work towards.
Sure.
Because I think we should keep a certain division between these old characters and 2000 AD, which is a thing in itself. But yeah, it could be an interesting. Could be an interesting exercise in the cross promotion.
And that being said, in the special itself, there is a strip that kind of lays the groundwork for a shared universe of some of these characters. So you'll see the likes of, and this is an exclusive, the Leopard from Lime Street, the Steel Commando, and Blake Edmonds, aka Death Wish. Within these very pages.
So long as there isn't a moment where we have to publish the page that says good news for all readers.
No.
And then it becomes 2000 AD with whoever.
That being said, I would love to see a Captain Crucial Zenith crossover.
Captain Crucial?
Yeah. Yeah. His superpowers is that he's uber stylish. Came straight out of the pages of Buster. It's fry gold.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, guys.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, Matt and Keith have been released to return to their modules to continue their editing duties. Thanks very much to them for explaining a little bit about the Ultimate Collection and the Scream and Misty Special. Make sure you badger your newsagent and your local comic book store to get these Sarjazz publications in. And we shall see you in 2 weeks' time. We've got no more panels from the 40th anniversary festival, Earthlits, unfortunately. Hope you've enjoyed hearing those again. We're going to have some bonus content coming up in the future, so make sure you tune in every time for the 2000 AD Thrillcast. Splendid birth figure, Flitz.
Alert! 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 Thrill power levels dangerously high. Alert! Alert! Be 2000 AD every week. Ask your comic book store or newsagent now. Subscribe to the galaxy's greatest comic at 2000adonline.com. Subscribe digitally on our apps for Apple, Android, and Windows 10. And download DRM free copies
from 2000ADonline.com. Alert! Alert! Stand by for urgent updates. Search for 2000AD on Twitter and Facebook. Watch the latest videos at youtube.com/2000ADonline. And follow on Instagram at Insta2000AD. Program complete. Shutting down.